Well, good morning, and this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and you've tuned in to the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Susie Prez and Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day and really excited about everything.
Yes, it is beautiful. We're getting that great spring weather. Spring's busting out there. And the news on the spring front, the ospreys laid not one but two eggs this week in the Memorial Field nest, which is, of course, on the webcam that you can see at sandpointospreys.com. All kinds of spring things are going on.
Yeah, I think the lake levels are probably rising.
The lake levels are rising, yeah. Okay. I'll give you the firm number here in a minute. So what's up with the weather?
Well, with the weather from the National Weather Service. But before we get to that, we have special guests in the studio. I'm just going to introduce them. This is our Election Central series that we're doing prior to the primaries on contested races on both sides of the fence, I'll say. And today we have Todd Sudik. Hi, Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Jeff Conley. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
You're both running for the Bonner County Commissioner District Seat 2 election, primary election.
Yes, on the Republican ballot. And actually, it's especially important because there is no Democratic candidate. That means that this race will actually be decided in the May 17th primary. So I hope folks will hang in for the whole hour because we have a whole bunch of questions to ask you, and you'll have an opportunity to share with folks where you stand on the issues.
And that's a good thing. But before we do that, again, from the National Weather Service, it's currently probably about 43 degrees. And today we can expect scattered showers, about a 40% chance, 20% chance tonight with thunderstorms possible, partly cloudy, low 40. Today, our high will be 63. Tomorrow, Thursday, slight chance of thunderstorms, high 65, and Thursday night, another 20% chance of thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low 43. And it looks like it's that way pretty much. Oh, it gets more showers Friday, Saturday, less showers, and Sunday. I just have to get to Sunday. Mostly sunny, high of 70 degrees. There you go.
Yeah, okay. Maybe Sunday will come early.
Plot out your weekend.
Also going on outside, the sunrise this morning was at 5:32 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 7:55 p.m. And over the past week, as we're approaching summer solstice now, we have picked up 23 minutes of daylight per day. So getting those beautiful long days.
We're happy about that.
Full moon was Thursday. It's now waning. It'll be 73% full tonight, but it doesn't rise till about midnight. And as for the lake, as you mentioned, yes, it is coming up. It's now at 2055.2 feet. It's up about a foot in the past 7 days. It's projected to rise another foot or a little more in the next week. Of course, we're now capturing the spring runoff, and the lake level will be rising up to a full pool. It's about 2062, I think. And speaking of the lake, they have a big fishing derby going on right now. The Lake Pondre Idaho Club Spring K&K Derby kicked off this weekend. It'll run through this next weekend, and they're catching some mighty big fish. I thought I would mention a couple of the leaders in the Girard Rainbow or the Kamloops division. Corey LaRue is the leader currently with a 17.88-pound rainbow that he caught. The second place there is by Jan Deef, and that fish is at 17.1 pounds. In the Mackinac division, the leader is John Jay with an 18.98-pound fish. And Gail Belgard Jr. is in second place with a 16-pound fish.
Is that a pretty big fish?
Those are darn big fish.
Okay.
Susie, just for the record.
Well, 16 pounds. Okay. I was thinking 16 inches, but 16 pounds, that is a big fish.
Yeah. The world record fish out of Lake Pondre actually, you guys know that? I think it's like 40 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
43 pounds. So we're not where we were back in the 50s when the fishery was really huge. But actually, the fishery has rebounded remarkably in the past 10 years due through some management changes they've made with the fisheries. So that's good news. It's not uncommon for them to be catching 20-pound fish now.
And just out of curiosity, do they keep those fish, or do they just weigh them and measure them and send them back to?
Well, you know what? That's they actually have had a kill policy. They were trying to reduce the number of predator fish, while the kokanee stock—that's the smaller landlocked salmon that we have here—rebounded because their numbers were way down, and they're actually the food fish for these big trout. But right now, I think it's kind of a mixed deal. I think a lot of fishermen are releasing the big ones, and some are keeping them. I don't know, Todd or Jeff, do you know the story on that? Are they keeping fish now?
No fishermen in the crowd?
Well, they did have a netting policy to try to reduce certain populations, but apparently that's going to go away. I was at a briefing here about a month ago on that. So, but yeah, there's, as far as I know, that they're allowed to keep some fish.
Yeah. Okay. And we, of course, there's a lot going on around town. The Festival of Sandpoint is having a big event, a wine festival Friday at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. There's another big event happening, Spring for Sandpoint, where the retailers in the downtown core are donating a portion of their proceeds to various charitable organizations. And hopefully we'll get back to some of the community calendar later in the show. But for now, let's get on with today's guests. And again, we have in the studio with us the two Republican candidates for Bonner County Commission District 2 seat. That's the incumbent Todd Sudik and challenger Jeff Connolly. Thank you both for being here. And as we discussed prior to our going on the air here, I'd like to give you guys at least a minute or 2 minutes just to introduce yourself to the audience and tell us why you're running and what your qualifications might be. Why don't we start with you, Todd?
All right. Thanks, Chris. And I'd like to thank you and Susie for the opportunity to speak on CareFight Why this morning. As you said, I'm Todd Sudik, your current Bonner County Commissioner, District 2. I'd like to start off by saying that the entire time I've lived, the 35 years I've lived in Bonner County, I've been dedicated to public service. And here's some examples over the years. I've chaired the Riverside Road Paving Committee where I lived. I've chaired the Bonner County School District 82 Employee Insurance Program, sat on the Priest River High School Curriculum Committee, chaired the Bonner Park West Improvement Committee. I was a member of the Lions Club for several years. I'm a current member of the Priest River Chamber of Commerce, and I spent 14 years on the Bonner County Waterways Advisory Committee prior to taking the oath as county commissioner. So I've shown my dedication to the local community and to the county. So what does a commissioner do? Well, they manage the day-to-day operation of the county to begin with. They manage 11 department heads in the county. They work with six other elected officials and then the other two commissioners, which make it eight. They work with our civil attorneys, the sheriff, judges, and county prosecutor to keep the Bonner County residents safe. They field calls and concerns of our county residents, and they approve the county budget, which is a big job, and working with our treasurer and our clerk, we kept that to a zero levy increase last year. So why am I uniquely qualified to be county commissioner? First, I've been on the job over a year and know the budget process and the finances of the county inside and out. For 22 years in the Marine Corps as a pilot, I was in command positions that gave me the experience to handle large staff and budgets and had honed my decision-making and management capabilities. As an airline captain, I was in a significant position of responsibility for over 30 years, managing a crew and ensuring passenger safety in worldwide operations. I've owned four businesses over the years and understand the needs of small business owner and business development in the county. And I've developed important, solid relationships, not only with my fellow commissioners, but with the staff we work with on a day-to-day basis. My background in aviation gives me the ability to closely work with our airport director to best manage and improve our two airports. And very importantly, I followed through on all the campaign promises I made last election. Come next January, I won't need any training wheels to be county commissioner. I'm up and running in the position, and I'm proven that I can manage the county in a business-like, professional, and fiscally responsible way. I'd like you to vote for me May 17th, Todd Sudik, for county commissioner.
Thank you, Todd. Jeff Connolly, can you give us your opening statement and touch on your qualifications and why you're running?
Yeah, I'm Jeff Connolly, and I've lived in Bonner County my entire life. I was born and raised in Priest River. I've gone to school, worked my whole life here, And as people that live here and work here know, that's quite a feat in itself. I've been a logger my whole life, so I've seen the ups and downs of the timber industry over the years, as especially the downturn recently. I've also served on the Peace River City Council for 14 years, and I'm quite familiar with budgets and working with people. I think that my people skills are one of my assets. I'm a firm believer in transparent government and involving the public in the different facets of government, bringing them in and getting them involved through the public hearing process, through the planning and zoning process, and through all kinds of different collaborative ventures that I'm in. I've sat on the Panhandle Forest Collaborative for 4 years. I have been a chamber member for 16 years. I can go on and on, but I won't. But I'm highly qualified to do the job. I've been a supervisor for Mike Reynolds for over 11 years and worked for him for 21 years. So I think I could do the job, and I know I could do the job, and I'd appreciate your vote on May 17th.
Great. Thank you very much, Jeff. So I'll tell you what, let's just start out with a question to frame up what you each consider are the most important two or three issues and facing the county commissioners coming up in this upcoming term that you'd be sitting in. And Jeff, why don't we start with you with what you feel like the two or three more important issues are?
Well, number one, I think that somewhere along the line we've gone awry. We're trying to push the public out of the system. We need to get back to having the public in the system and helping make these decisions. The Planning and Zoning Commission has been lately, in my opinion, beat up, and it's showing that people are leaving and resigning. And I think it's important to have a strong planning and zoning. Do you think that you can do a better job probably in the planning department? Sure, you probably could, but you still need those checks and balances in place. And I'm thinking that right now we've got quite a bit of a upheaval inside the system. And I also think that the commission needs to do a better job of involving the public in their meetings. They allow the public to speak, which is a great thing, but I don't see a lot of discussion between the commissioners about key issues. So that, and in my opinion, we should be having public hearings and not 9 a.m. in the morning, but at 6 p.m. at night when the public is more free to attend. And that's what I would think the most important things out there are.
Okay, good. Same question to you, Todd. What would you identify as the top two or three most important issues?
Well, what we consistently hear most about is law enforcement, roads, and the budget. Budget is on track. We had a zero levy increase last year. We're going for a zero levy increase this year. What that means is that we live within our means, and we don't raise taxes as a way of running county operations, and we're committed to that. In our road system, we're trying to expand the application of mag chloride. We're doing some more road paving this year. We have 700 miles of roads in Bonner County. 400 of those miles are, in fact, gravel roads. So it's a challenge, especially because of our operation budget for road department is $9.1 million, and we can only do so much in terms of paving and BST and mag chloride application. Planning and Zoning Commission is works for the commissioners. They're appointed by the commissioners, and the commissioners set the direction of planning and zoning. The Planning and Zoning is an advisory commission. Actually, state statute allows the county to have that commission. They don't demand that we do, but we certainly set the direction. We have some folks who disagree with the direction, and so they've decided not to be on there. We have encouraged their participation, and they've chose not to. So, and as far as involving the public, having our business meetings in the evening is problematic because of the amount of county overtime and whatnot we'd have to pay in order to do that. And we do involve the public. we have an opportunity with our meeting packets to review all of the necessary decisions, and some of them are just routine in terms of transferring money from one account to the other, that we don't need to hold a hearing over whether they're going to transfer funds from one line item to another line item to facilitate the budget. We do involve the public in all of our decisions because we have an open comment, and sometimes it gets quite lively. So I would say that the commissioners are fully committed to public involvement and fully committed to listening to what our constituents have to say.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's dig in a little bit more on the issue of the planning and zoning, since I think that's probably the hot button issue currently. And to frame this up for some of the listeners that might not be familiar with that, the criticism is that the current county commissioners have acted to curtail the decision making of the Bonner County Planning Commission, and they have discharged former planning director Claire Marley, senior planner, and senior planner Don Carlson over the past 6 or 8 months. And now both of those former employees are in the process of suing or bringing claim against the county for wrongful termination. Additionally, the unpaid volunteer planning commission chairman, Steve Temple, resigned in February, asking the commissioners to respect the structure of the planning and zoning processes found in local and state land use codes. So I guess the question would be, and why don't we start with you, Jeff, since Todd just spoke to this a little bit. Do you think the county commissioners are on the right course with the planning and zoning commission? And if not, what specific things would you be doing differently?
Well, I don't think they're on the right course. I think that they should be having a better working relationship with the Planning and Zoning Commission. I think that it's very important to have a Planning and Zoning Commission that's a strong and separate entity from the commissioners that give good advice. I think that it's a more widely diverse group, and I think that that's what brings good sound decisions forward. Now, yes, it is an advisory board, and they do serve at the will of the commission. But to me, I think you encourage that kind of participation at that level. And it's pretty obvious that some people, I've talked to more than one on the Planning and Zoning Commission, including Steve, and just hearing their issues and their concerns about the direction that this is heading. I mean, should it be streamlined? Is there better ways to do things inside the planning department and the Planning and Zoning Commission? I'm sure there is. But to me, you work together through a collaborative process with the people that are on those commissions, and you come up with solutions. That's what I liked about collaboration.
Jeff, can I ask a kind of follow-up here? So how do you feel about the current county comprehensive plan, since I think that probably comes down to how the comprehensive plan is going to be carried forward?
Well, I think it needs to be revisited, and it should be revisited, even maybe on a yearly basis, because then that way you keep up with it. We've had the same issue in the city. We tend to push it aside and say, you know, and we're looking at a lot of them this year, our comp plan, our zoning ordinances, and we're making updates in the city. I think that that's just part of the game every year. Make sure your comp plan is up to date and make sure it meets your needs. I think that the commissioners back in the day, about 8 years ago when some different commissioners were in there, we had what I call a summit where all the cities and the county officials came together one day a quarter. And we just met and talked about, okay, here's what's coming towards us, and here's where we all should be on this same page, so that, you know, you don't have each city and the county doing different things. And we made some pretty good progress, but after the election, and Carl died, and Marsh Phillips left, then that went away. I'd like to see that come back. I think it's an important tool.
Okay. Thank you. Todd, same question to you. And, of course, you are the incumbent, so a little different question. Do you feel the county commissioners are on the right course as concerns the planning department? And I guess my follow-up question there would be, do you feel like the planning department and the planning commission are well-constituted now after these changes that have taken place more recently?
Again, I'd like to reiterate that the Planning and Zoning Commission works for the commissioners. They do not make ordinances. In fact, they're specifically not allowed to make ordinances. They make recommendations. What has caused a lot of the, I guess, controversy, and I think Mr. Temple was differing on, with us on that, was when we passed 12214, it took away some of the power that the Planning and Zoning Commission have that was specifically forbidden under state statute. So we had 12214 was a ordinance that violated state statute. And what that said was that the county commissioners could not make a decision on an ordinance until they had a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Well, if the Planning and Zoning Commission decided they were never going to make a recommendation, then we couldn't pass an ordinance. That, in effect, gave them de facto ordinance capability that they are not provided for under state statute. So we went ahead and we passed, we got rid of 12214 because only the commissioners have the authority to pass ordinances. So that created a stir. And we just streamlined the, with 12262, we streamlined the appeals process, which made it easier and cheaper for people to appeal decisions from the Planning and Zoning Commission. That was it. As far as the comp plan, one of the problems we have with the comp plan is the average cost of a house in Bonner County is $60,000 more than it is in Kootenai County. As a result, the there are businesses in Bonner County that are busing their employees up to Bonner County because they can't afford to buy houses here. So in terms of business development, we have to change the dynamic. And part of the reason that exists is because of the comp plan, and we need to change that. As far as the county and the city, 72% of the people in Bonner County do not live in one of the nine municipalities. They live in the unincorporated areas of the county, and the county works under a different set of statutes in terms of how they do their comp plan and planning and zoning than the municipalities. We work with municipalities where they interface with the county, but outside of the county, we are different, and we have to respect the 72% of the people that do live in the county.
Okay. Jeff, would you like to have a rebuttal or follow-up statement?
Yeah. Well, I just happened to Google the average home price in Kootenai and in Bonner County yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the median home price in Bonner County is actually $144,000 and $204,000 in Kootenai County. So, I mean, I guess you can look on the internet and you can find the number you like. But to tell you the truth, I think we all know that that Bonner County is less expensive place to live. I mean, you can take average sales in the last 3 months. There was a little glitch or an uptick in that, but median home prices, Google it, I encourage you to.
Okay. Todd, would you like to
I don't know. I deal with the Realty Board and talking with Rafael Barta, who has written, by the way, editorials on the high cost of housing in Bonner County versus Kootenai County, and their numbers are the same. It's about $238,000 in Kootenai County and $188,000 average housing cost in Bonner County. And those come from the Board of Realty.
Okay.
And I have a quick follow-up question, and this would be for Todd, since you're the incumbent and have been sitting on the commissioner's seat for the last year plus months. You mentioned that Ordinance 12-14 was found to be in violation of state statute, and so it was eliminated where the commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission, was not the de facto deciding group on planning and zoning issues. So if that was taken away, was there something else put in place to continue the spirit of collaboration in the county and to have checks and balances, or is there a plan to put something else in place since that was taken away?
No, we still hold hearings. I think to reiterate what 12214 was, it says the commissioners could not pass an ordinance until they got a recommendation from Planning and Zoning Commission. Well, if we go out and we have a hearing and they don't want to make a recommendation, then we can't pass an ordinance. That gave them de facto ordinance approval authority. So they can pick and choose what ordinances they want to make a recommendation on. That specifically violates state statute. They do not have ordinance capability. The only time under state statute that you have to go to planning and zoning is for zoning issues and comp plan. And they have to get a specific recommendation. And we respect that. And we want to work with the Planning and Zoning Commission to make sure that their opinions and their advice are taken into effect. But 12214 specifically did not was not in concert with state statute.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I respect the fact that the rules have to change, but I think that the PNZ should have been involved and been, you'd have been up front and said, hey, this is what we have to do. This is the way we're moving with this. And this is why. When you start just quoting state statutes and the law and stuff, I think it's an intimidation factor. I think that obviously that the seven planning and zoning commissioners and the three commissioners could have come up with something, and it wouldn't have had to have been. This is the way we're doing it. We are the governing board.
Okay. And I'd like to remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY morning show with your hosts, Chris, that's me, and Susie. And we're talking today with the Bonner County Commission District 2 Republican candidates, Todd Sudik and Jeff Connolly. All right, let's turn on to another issue here to talk about. And this was one that was a pretty hot one a couple of months ago as well. And it's refugees. A large community debate was kicked off this winter over Syrian refugee resettlement. Both the city and the county considered resolutions related to that. Although there was no specific proposal to relocate Syrian refugees in Bonner County, the Bonner County Commissioners issued a resolution in support of Governor Butch Otter's call that there be a halt to all refugee settlement in Idaho. And I'd like to ask you both, do you support or oppose the commissioner's resolution on this, and why? And let's start with you, Todd.
I think I want to extend that comment on Governor Otter's statement. What he called for was a halt to refugee resettlement until such time as all the refugees can be fully vetted in terms of their veracity, and you know, are they ISIS? Do they have criminal backgrounds? And we do that anyway. This was an attempt by the Obama administration to bypass our immigration laws, and they're still doing that. The commissioners did, was to pass a resolution supporting Governor Otter. I think if you look at some of the counties back in the Midwest that have had massive resettlement issues, where 10,000 or more have come into the county, the cost to the county, even though that there's some federal and state money coming in, have been huge in terms of the school systems and public services and so forth. So that's an issue that has to be dealt with, and you can't just sweep it under the carpet until you're faced with it. But our resolution just supported the halt until, and I stress until, the refugees could be fully vetted.
Okay.
So you felt that the refugees currently are not fully vetted?
Absolutely not.
Through the Immigration Department
Absolutely
of the United
not.
States?
No, they're just bringing them in and using NGOs to resettle the refugees, non-governmental organizations. And so they bypass the vetting process. Normally, if you come in as a immigrant, you have to go through a background check. You have to go through a specific health checks and so forth to make sure that you're not bringing diseases. All of these were being bypassed. And what we said, and we agreed with the governor, was that let's vet these refugees so that we know that that what we're getting is not going to cause harm to the citizens of the state of Idaho. So we didn't call for a ban on all refugees. We didn't call for a halt on all refugees. It was a halt until such time as we could vet them.
Okay. Jeff, same question to you.
Well, I dealt with this question a few weeks ago, and I don't think I did a very good job. But what I said was I'd like to see the whole immigration for 30 days stop everything and just say, because the federal government sometimes drops the ball and doesn't do a good job, they always think they're doing a great job. I just want to make sure that whatever we're doing meets the standards that we're supposed to be meeting. That's what I would support. The commissioners, to me, it was kind of a political grandstanding. They just, to me, you don't have a lot of say. I know Todd had said that the governor had asked for them to participate and to give their input, but as far as I know, that never happened. Talked to the governor about that. What it was just a chance to make a big statement, make a big splash, and really that's not what we want. We all know that there should be proper vetting of any immigrant, regardless of where they come from. And this was aimed directly at the Arab Islamic State. And I think that overall, you would just have to say, let's stop for a second. Let's take a good, hard look at this. Let's make sure we've got all the checks and balances in place.
Okay. Any follow-up on this one, Todd?
Yeah. I've been to 92 countries around the globe and my job, and both with the military and the airlines. And I spent a lot of time in the Middle East. I was in Iran when it fell. I was held under guard by the Islamic folks over there with the machine guns until we could get out of the country. I understand face-to-face some of the problems that exist. What we responded to was a lot of concern by Bonner County citizens who contacted the county commissioners and wanted to know what we could do as county commissioners to make sure that their safety was ensured. And so what we did was we came up with this. It was not political grandstanding, by the way. I take great umbrage at that. We were representing the citizens and their concerns by making a statement that supported the governor, by the way, and just said, we want to make sure they're fully vetted. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do. The city went and took it a step further. That turned into a big mess. But most of the people at the city council did not even read our statement before they reacted with their own. But I think it's a reasonable thing to do to say, listen, based on the concerns of the citizens who were contacting us, that we asked that the federal government fully vet, and we supported the governor in making that statement, the refugees, before they were allowed in.
Okay. Jeff, any follow-up
for you? Yeah, just the rebuttal is then would be, what did that actually accomplish? So you sent that to the governor. I've got a copy of it, so I've read it thoroughly. And I just guess, to me, it just seems like we have plenty of issues right here in Bonner County that we could have been dealing with. That's why I say it seems to be a political grandstand to me. But anyway, I'll take his word for it.
Okay. Let's push on to another issue. This one is a question concerning education, although that doesn't squarely fall under the purview of the commissioners. They do have a lot of influence on education in our county. So here's a couple questions concerning that. The Lake Pendre School District is very close to approving a master plan facility plan levy that voters would need to approve in a few months. That levy would raise about $55 million for facility maintenance, a number of schools, and actual replacement of the current middle school. Do you support or oppose the proposed levy? Would be the first question. And then the second education question is, North Idaho College currently has an outreach campus in Sandpoint. Do you support the expansion of NIC in Bonner County, which might of necessity at some point in the future require inclusion of Bonner County or parts of Bonner County into NIC's taxing district? And Jeff, why don't we start with you on that one?
Well, I'm fairly unfamiliar with the Lake Pendre School District levies, but I will comment on the NIC, and I will come back to the levy. I think that it's a great idea to have NIC expanding. We'd like to see them even have a expansion to Priest River. We're already working with them on different options for training, workforce training. I think that as far as expanding the taxing district, I guess it's just the same old thing. You'd have to see what they're offering and what it costs the taxpayers of Bonner County. Obviously, if it could be a very good situation, so I would be in favor of that. The levy in general, I support school levies most of the time. I've had a couple questions on the West Bonner County School District levies, and I come out and ask those questions. But in the end, I support them. I realize what's happened to their state funding, and I realize that there's been quite a tax shift to the local levy system. It's painful, but it's necessary. If you plan on getting businesses in these areas, they're bringing their families. They need good school districts. That's just the way it is. But study it and vote your heart.
Okay, thank you. Same question to you, Todd. I'll repeat a couple parts of it. First of all, would you support or oppose the proposed Lake Pend'Oreille School District levy? It's a plant facility levy, so it's a larger one, $55 million. And then the second question would be, do you support or oppose North Idaho College expansion in the county?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. NIC expansion is something we've looked for a long time. Currently, Bonner County actually gives a tuition credit to those students who are attending NIC of $300. And so that is it's a kind of a cooperative effort with NIC. Kootenai County supports NIC through a levy right now, and we've been asked by NIC to participate in that levy. At some point, we're probably going to end up having to do it because we are relying more on NIC with Bonner County students. So just above and beyond the tuition credit we give students, we're going to have to sooner or later get involved in that in order to have them expand. There is a discussion to have NIC put in a facility at the airport for instruction in aircraft maintenance. That's ongoing, and that's part of our master plan at the airport. So the NIC taxi district is probably going to come along at some point. Again, Kootenai County has that in place. In terms of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, I've been briefed by Steve Youngdahl on that.
He's the board chairman.
And I think that's something the voters are going to have to decide. I don't think the Bonner County commissioners are going to take a position on that because my District 2 expands both of those school districts, both the West Pend'Oreille and the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. I'm not going to take a position on that, but I would ask the voters to go out and take a look at the numbers and take a look at the finances of the district and make their best choice in terms of that expansion.
Okay, thank you. Let's have a follow-up question here, actually, the follow-on question, if you will. Economy and job creation are always issues of concern in Bonner County. Do you consider this an important issue for county commissioners to deal with? And what, if so, what specific actions do you feel the commissioners can take to help improve the economy and produce jobs? And Todd, why don't we start with you first on that one?
We're very involved with the Economic Development Corporation, Paul Cush. Paul Cush is involved with the folks over in Priest River, and their Economic Development Corporation. And so we work with Paul all the time in terms of how we can facilitate businesses coming to Bonner County. And again, one way is we can take a look at the cost of housing. As I said, it's high enough that businesses have complained to us. And they have to bring, they are busing. There's two businesses that are busing workers from Kootenai County who can't afford to live in Bonner County. One of the things we have done that's very proactive is that we have passed a resolution supporting implementing a tax credit for businesses that come into Bonner County and spend more than $3 million or more on building and machinery, that the land cannot come under that taxing credit. And that is a state statute that was passed that allows counties to do that. So any business that comes in and spends $3 million or more in building and machinery or equipment, we will give them up to 5 years a property tax credit to help them out. And so that's something that we've done here in the last 3 months. And we've been working on it for the last 6 months. So we are very active in promoting business.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, same question to you. Do you consider economy and job creation issues a concern that the county commission should deal with? And if so, what kinds of actions do you feel that the commission can take?
Those things that Todd said are very true. We're working on several different fronts in Priest River. So the commissioners definitely need to support and be aware of what's going on in those fronts and help to get that done, which they are, and we appreciate that. The commission is to work with all of counties. So to me, yes, there's plenty they can do. Are they doing enough? They probably are doing everything they should. It's still up to the cities and the municipalities to reach out there and to try to bring these businesses to their area, which is very, very, very competitive. So that's the hard part. And by having a tax break will help. You're fighting with communities all over the nation. So, we should keep moving forward in that direction.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and we are here with the morning show with Chris and Susie. Our guests are Todd Sudik and Jeff Conley from the running for the Bonner County Commissioner District Seat 2 in the primary race that will be taking place. When is that, Chris?
The primary is May 17th. And I want to take just a moment here to talk about other ways people can gather information about the election. This is the third of five morning shows that we're having with candidates in contested primary races, the local primary races. So you can listen here the next couple of weeks. Next week we're talking with the District 1 Senate, State Legislative Senate candidates, Sean Keogh and Glenn Rohr. And then on May, the following week, we are talking with the following Wednesday, the 11th, we are talking with the sheriff candidates. So you can tune in here. And by the way, if you can't catch it at this airtime, we have podcasts of all these available on the website, krfy.org. I want to also mention there are three forums coming up. There's one tomorrow. Republican candidate forum for state and local candidates sponsored by the Bonner County Republican Central Committee. And that will be at 6:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. at Sandpoint Community Hall. This is tomorrow, and the public's invited. On May 4th, the Bonner County Republican candidates are going to have a forum in Priest River, again, sponsored by the Bonner County Republican Central Committee. From 6 until 8 p.m. at the Priest River Junior High, I believe is the location for that. And then on May 11th, that's just the week before the May 17th primary, there's going to be a primary candidates forum sponsored by Sandpoint Online and Sandpoint Reader. That's at 5:30 until 8 p.m. at the Sandpoint High School Auditorium on Division Street. And that's going to be for all primary candidates in contested elections, not just Republicans. And with that, let's turn back to our two guests in the studio this morning. Again, the County Commission District 2 candidates, Todd Sudik and Jeff Connolly. Again, thank you both for being here. Here's another question for you. Let's, on a couple environmental issues. Do you support or oppose the wilderness designation for the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Area? And then secondly, do you support or oppose the proposed Rock Creek Mine in Montana, which has potential effects on water quality in Lake Ponderé? Why don't we start with Jeff on this one?
Well, I do support the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Area. I've worked closely with the people from Friends of Scotchman Peak and through collaboration. And we have discussed and knocked out some really hard issues. And this is one of them. We haven't had a lot of discussion about Scotchman Peak, but it's a good fit. It's already there, basically. You just have to get the nomination and get it through the Senate, through the Congress. But I do support that. I think that's part of the give and take and collaboration. We work together well, and that's part of it. The Rock Creek Mine, I've read a lot about the Rock Creek Mine, and I don't have all the information that I should, but I am real concerned about the potential harm that could do to our watersheds. And I'm fairly confident that the government will do the right thing and make them jump through the right hoops and do everything possible. But also saying that, the government sometimes does let us down. So I would want to see the final documents in place to see what they're all about. But I would say at this point, I don't support.
Okay. Thank you. Same question to you, Todd. Scotchman Peak Wilderness and Rock Creek Mine.
As you probably know, the Bonner County Commissioners passed a resolution to support the Scotchman's Peak designation to a wilderness area. And currently it's a status M4. So the leap from M4 to M5, which would be wilderness, is minuscule in terms of the effect of what it will have on Bonner County. But it's a beautiful area. We've worked closely with Phil Howe. In fact, last fall, Commissioner Kelly and I climbed East River Peak, which is about as arduous as Scotchman's Peak. There's pictures on the web of us at the top. It was
Proof you made it.
Well, right. I have proof that I was there. Yeah, we had a group of about seven people. So we really got to see the area from the top down, so to speak. And we do support it, and we think it's a great opportunity. It's just that the process right now is taking a long time, and so it's back in Washington, D.C., and our senators and our representatives are involved in that. As far as Rock Creek, you know, I've heard so much pro and con on it. I've been to briefings on it from geologists, by the way, who are divided on it, and I think that it's a Montana issue, first of all, although it's interesting that we're concerned about Rock Creek, but not about the level of nutrients coming into the Clark Fork River and into our lake from Montana, from any paper operations over there. But I think they're still going through the process. I'd like to see some more data. It's getting closer, I think, to probably being approved, but there's some data on holding ponds, and the geologists I've talked to on both sides. One says, well, it's going to pollute the groundwater. The other says no way because of the structure of the rock. So I don't have enough information to say I'm against it, but, of course, there's environmental concerns. I would kind of tongue-in-cheek say as long as the EPA stays out of it, we'll be fine because they caused that dam break and pond flooding back east where all the yellow pollutants polluted the streams for miles. So
yeah, actually, that was, I think, Colorado.
Colorado. I said last week is Colorado, yeah. So...
Okay, we are going to be running out of time before too long, but we can't let you guys get away without asking a question about taxes. And the question is this: do you feel the county has struck the correct balance between taxes and services? The candidates to the office always come in on a platform to reduce taxes, but if you do want to reduce taxes, what specific services would you eliminate to do that? And can you hold your reply just for about a minute on this? And Jeff, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I think the tax structure the way it is all right. And I think that the biggest thing is that to try to streamline government to make it more efficient and effective, which is a huge task. But as far as taxes go, I think in the general, Bonner County isn't overtaxed. And I don't want to see any of the things that we've got now go away. So I would say I'm all right with where they are.
Okay. Same question to you, Todd. Are taxes at the right level? Are services at the right level?
I think that we live within our budget. In other words, we didn't raise taxes last year. And by raising taxes, I mean we didn't raise the levy rate. So if it's interesting, if most people would take a look at their tax bills or tax assessments, they would find that most of their taxes they voted to approve. And a big chunk of those are school levies or fire districts or other things that were that took a vote of the people to approve. As commissioners, we can raise taxes by 3% each year without going to the public for a vote. We don't want to do that. We don't want to raise the levy at all from its current level. And so we're going to hold taxes from the commissioner's side and levy rate right where they are. Now, of course, if your assessment goes up, your taxes will go up. And that's the assessor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand on taxes.
Okay, thank you. And I think we have time for another question here. Better cover roads. And Todd, you did speak to that a little bit while we were in the early part of the show. But let's just come back on that question. Todd, you first. Do you feel like the county is doing a good job with roads? Are there areas that you would identify for improvement? And, of course, the question is, how do you pay for that?
Well, the road department has a $9.1 million budget. Now, we normally end up spending a little bit more than that because we have unanticipated income. This year, about $540,000 came in unanticipated. That was HB 312 money, which is gas taxes. So we are spending that on additional rock crushing in order to facilitate road improvements. We take road improvements in a measured way by doing traffic counts. And based on traffic counts, we either apply mag chloride, we BST, or we hot pave. The problem we got is BST is $50,000 to $70,000 a mile. Hot pave can be $250,000 to $300,000 a mile. So if you've only got a $9.1 million budget, call it 9.6, including purchasing machinery and paving roads and grading and so forth. It's a matter of options. It's a matter of deciding which roads you're gonna take to the next level. And I get a lot of calls on those, but we try to do the best we can in terms of. And I think we're doing a good job. I really do.
Okay, thank you. Same question to you, Jeff.
Roads. Yeah, I think the road department is doing a good job. I think that there's a few changes that can be made, but they're minor. I think that it's important to make sure that the road improvements, especially like pavement, get spread around the county. I'm sure that they have a system of doing paving in certain areas and then other areas. But anyway, I think that all in all, with a few tweaks, it's running pretty smooth, and I wouldn't want to change too much.
Okay, thank you. And we are out of time, but we have to give you 1 minute each to make a final statement and tell the voters why they should vote for you. And Todd, why don't we start with you on that?
Again, I've been in the job over a year. I know the budget process and the finances of the county in and out. I led the charge on the budget last year in terms of identifying monies that were pocketed away and bringing them to light. We paid off $1.2 million in debt last year. We have $1.6 million left on the admin building. We'd like to see another chunk applied to that this year. In terms of our airports, we are doing a heck of a lot. We've hired an airport director. We're improving Sandpoint Airport, getting approaches so that we can get scheduled air service, putting up fences, and so forth. I would like to see that I continue on the job. All the campaign promises I made last year, I've followed the last election, I've followed through on. The big one was, of course, reforming planning and zoning, and that needed to be done. State statute actually provides for a review of planning and zoning, which hadn't been done. So I'd like to continue on doing the business of Bonner County in a professional, businesslike, conservative, and fiscally responsible way.
Thank you. That's Todd Sudik, incumbent and candidate for Bonner County Commission District 2. Now, Jeff Conley.
Yeah, I would just like to see just a little more calm and common sense brought to the commission. I just think that we're charging into a bull in a china closet. I think that we do too many things without thinking them through. I think that there's some improvement that can be had in all of those different facets. I think that by talking to people and by negotiating, you can actually get to those same spots without suing or being sued. So I think that the lawsuit mentality that is in the county right now is a detriment to not only the county, but the citizens and the employees. And I'd like your vote on May 17th. Please get out and vote.
Okay, thank you. Once again, Jeff Conley and Todd Sudik, candidates for Bonner County Commission District 2. And the election is May 17th. So, folks, I hope you're getting informed for that. If you're tuning in at the last part of this, you didn't catch the whole thing, this will be recorded and available as a podcast on our website, KRFY.org, later this afternoon. So thank you again, both.
There you go. And we're pretty much out of time. This is 88.5 KRFY.
Jeff?
And thank you, Todd and Jeff, for coming in. Stay with us for a moment. We want to remind our listeners we're out of time. We're just going to remind our listeners that KRFY is supported by our community listeners and fundraisers that we do. We have a big fundraising concert coming up at the Panada on May 6th. That's with the Little Smokies, and special guests opening for the Little Smokies, our very own Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker. So we want to encourage people to get their tickets now. I will be doing a live interview with the Little Smokies on Friday, May 6th, around 2 o'clock. And throughout the next week or so, we'll be giving tickets away. So stay tuned to KRFY to see if you can get tickets, or go buy your tickets right now at Evans Brothers, Pedro's, Eichhardt's. You can call us at 265-2992 or go online at Panada.org. That's it. You know, everyone needs to come to this concert and support KRFY. But not only support KRFY, here's some amazing music.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. Yeah. It's a pretty painless way to support, because these guys are a heck of musicians. I think they've been winning some bluegrass festivals.
They won the Telluride. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest one. It's prestigious.
Yeah.
The Telluride Bluegrass Festival band competition last year. And just so you know, they're in good stand. That another group that won that was Nickel Creek and the Dixie Chicks. So
pretty
good.
Big
deal to come out of there. So we're going to hear a Little Smoky song right now. This is called California. We hope everyone has a great day.
Yes. Have a good week.
Yep. We'll be back.